The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. All accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. What's going on, handsome? How you doing, big boy?
Oh, couldn't be better. Feeling handsome today. Look at me. I brushed my hair.
You're looking good today.
I took a shower after the gym. I mean, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, trimmed the whatever that beard mustache is.
Trimmed? Is that what you call it?
I don't know what it is, but it's looking good.
Yeah, it's basically good. It's just all falling out.
What's going on, Brady? What's happening today?
Not good. Crying already, and it's only February.
Oh, Mike, what happened there?
Felix
Hernandez, the guy of which the Mariners' playoff hopes rely on, and my favorite current player. Injured hand. Hit by a line drive. It'll be broken. With the Mariners' luck, it'll be broken, and he'll be out for like a year.
I got news for you. If your team is relying on Felix Hernandez, the current
we
Felix
can't
Hernandez.
All be Red Sox fans, Rich.
Wow, didn't he have 6 wins last year?
Not that many.
I think he had 14.
Did he? What was his ERA? 5-something?
Wait a minute.
We can't all be Red Sox fans. And Arnie, I promise you...
6-5 last year.
Okay. We had 14 the year before then.
11.
No, whatever. Don't, you know what?
He's never had 20 wins ever. You know that.
Well, he's been playing for the Mariners. That's why it doesn't mean anything.
Wow.
But I tell you what, if you come at me today, I'm going to talk so much grief about Arizona basketball being kicked out of the NCAA probably for how dirty they are.
That won't happen, though. Yeah. I was pretty much in the
field. Is Sean Miller fired or not?
No, he's not.
Because he was fired, then he wasn't fired. And
I don't even know how he could sit out the game against Oregon. I know I was just...
Because he's a crook.
I was not... Well, actually, he didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's funny because... did you see the...
I'm just saying, if you get on me about the Mariners and take joy in my pain, I'm going to take joy in yours.
So if you
want to start Monday like that, we can go there.
I just want to say one thing about that. DeAndre Ayton, the big 7-foot center, was going to be one of the top 3 picks. His parents came out and made them release a statement, and this was a statement... Did you know that the FBI talked to him, independent counsel, an independent law firm, the Pac-12, the University of Arizona law firm, and there was like the attorney general. And he was cleared in September, and he's cleared now. So he is not taking money. And they said in a release, he is not taking money, nor his family's taking money, nor anybody on his behalf has taken money. So I'm not exactly sure why Sean Miller isn't coaching, to be honest with you.
So how was that as an Arizona fan and alumni having to discuss that round the clock?
Horrible. People were calling me up all over the place. They wouldn't leave me alone.
And you're very clear to your audience of a quarter of a dozen people nationally that you are an Arizona guy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And I only went on a few shows because I just couldn't do it anymore. It was just horrible. I wouldn't return emails, texts.
I texted you on Saturday.
I didn't respond. No. It was getting a little too crazy. My phone was blowing up, and it was getting nuts out there. But I'm curious to see what's going to happen because by the way, this wiretap that they supposedly had, if I've had Mark Schlabo on my show before when I was living down in Atlanta, this guy covers the SEC for 20 years, right? Has not had one breaking story on the SEC football being paid off anybody down there, but yet he gets this story. Do you know that nobody's heard this wiretap? I want you to know, seriously, did you know that nobody has heard this wiretap? So I'm not exactly sure what the hell is going on, but I'm sure we'll find out in due time. But I think Arizona will be in there. But anyway, it was a fun weekend, except for that. That just kind of destroyed everything.
So what was fun about it? What'd
nothing,
you do?
Nothing.
Where'd
I was
go?
In the fetal position and just sat at home and cried for the most part.
So between Felix and Arizona, I had a good weekend.
I was looking to go ahead and take my aggressions out playing basketball. I have no basketball at all this week. Williston Central School's closed this week, so I have no hoops there. We have a bye week in our YMCA league.
A bye week?
Yeah, we have a bye week.
We have to recover.
To recover from your injuries?
Because there's unequal schedules, so we have a bye week. I've got no place to play basketball. I'm starving to play basketball.
Well, and you got trivia on Wednesday, so you can't even play there.
There you go.
You're doing trivia, aren't you?
I am, but you go.
Well, I do go, but I'm just trying to figure out what the hell. I got to play some basketball.
You didn't go last week.
Got to knock somebody around, you know what I mean? Got to start throwing some elbows, for crying out loud.
You could go to the edge.
Yeah, I could do that, but then, people know me there.
But good players play there, so you probably wouldn't be welcome.
Isn't that the place where you had that guy push you around and you left crying?
No, that was at Williston Central, and okay. I told that guy to back out my face and then scored on him again.
Wow. So we take it very
wow.
seriously.
There's the first wow. Bottoms up.
What happened to Felix Hernandez today?
Wow.
I can't believe a 6-5 pitcher is the hopes of you making the playoffs or not. I just want to throw that in there.
Favorite player, and we need him to be healthy, so that's obviously not going to be the
case. Isn't he like 47?
Rich, I swear I'm not in the mood for your grief either.
He's like 30.
We'll talk about 31. The Bruins loss to Buffalo.
Wow.
Again yesterday.
That was pathetic. You want to hurt me. Let's talk about that Bruins game last night.
And one of your listeners text in saying, why am I listening to Arnie and something Shores,
Muscle
Alabama.
Muscle Shoals or
Alabama.
Something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm Florence, the Alabama.
Yeah, somewhere.
Market number 483.
Yeah, if I'm lucky. That's who I talk to when I do my national show. It's like Florence, Alabama. Yeah. Somewhere in Pocatello, Idaho.
Well, actually, people don't
Kentucky.
Believe that Arnie is on.
No,
nationally.
No,
they don't see
no.
how that's possible.
They don't like Idaho, Kentucky,
Pocatello,
all little small markets. You never imagine just people sitting at home going, "I'm going to turn on the radio and see what I find."
Who is this?
Who the hell is this?
It's gargling with razor blades.
All right, busy weekend. Lots going on in the world of sports. We have a lot to get to today. So, Brady, what's coming up on the show?
Well, we are going to tell you trivia Wednesday. City Sports Grill, 7:30 to 9:30. Half price burger. So join us there. As for what's coming up today, the Bruins make a big move yesterday. The Lightning make a counter move today. We'll get into that in 10 minutes at the NHL trade deadline. Dallin Cuff, ESPN college basketball analyst, he'll join us at 4:35. He'll talk a little bit about Arizona. We'll also get his opinion on UVM. We'll debut a new segment that will have you feeling nostalgic at 4:55. Trey Bell Haynes, UVM men's hoop star, 5:30. But first, our daily spring training update takes us officially to the J.D. Martinez signing. He was introed with his agent, Scott Boras, in Boston or in Fort Myers today to the Red Sox Nation. We've got the best sound from that, but your impressions on Martinez press conference?
He said the right things in the press conference. What was it? What was the one quote he said I off the top of my head? I can't remember about coming in and stepping on everybody's throat. Is that what it was, Brady, that he said? I like that attitude. I like that type of moxie. The first time he goes in a slump, I'll be jumping down his throat. He looks like he's ready to roll and said all the right things. So, I mean, let's get going and see how he does in spring training. Get ready to, put him in the lineup. And, by the way, where you guys have him batting? I'm just kind of curious what it's all said.
We'll see. I mean, 3 or 4. Yeah. I would think 4.
Yeah.
But I put Bogarts in the 3 and Benintendi in the 2.
You know, and I actually talked about this a little bit last night. I'm ready to see if he's going to have more than a year and a half of some good numbers. I'm kind of curious to see which Martinez is going to step on up.
Well, and of course he addressed his injury that cost him a bunch of games early last year. You'd never know it when you look at his numbers, but he actually missed 40 games last year with that crazy injury. I can't even pronounce the Lins Farm, Boone's Farm, whatever it's called. He had some sort of a weird problem, and that was the issue, apparently, for the last 5 days. Scott Boras, one of the world's worst human beings, sitting there with Dave Dombrowski today. That was an adventure. They said they'd gotten to know each other a little better. Can you imagine spending 5 days round the clock with Scott Boras?
Well, as far as my takeaways from the press conference, I would hit him 4. Alex Cora said he's going to hit 3 or 4, but last week he told us Hanley Ramirez was going to hit 3rd. So I think that's interesting. I would hit Martinez 4 because I think that he's a relative certainty, and I think that guys like Devers and guys like Bogarts and guys like Hanley are uncertainty. So if I hit Martinez 3, then I've got a really good 1-2-3. But then what? At 4-5-6, Hanley, Devers, Bogarts in some particular order, 3 guys that are relative unknowns going into the season?
I want to see what Bogarts is this year. I just keep waiting for him to be that guy that showed so many signs of being that guy a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
By the way, why is the Red Sox best home run hitter batting 3rd, and last year the Yankees best home run hitter is batting 2nd, and you guys were totally okay with that, going, well, it gets more at bats. They need him up there. Why is that philosophy work there but not here?
Well, because the Red Sox have a better 1-2 than what the Yankees would have had. You can quibble with the lineup all you want.
No, I'm not quibbling. I'm just curious.
I'm more of a traditionalist. I understand the way that people are going, and I understand it, and I can rationalize it. But Judge runs better than Martinez, despite how big he is. And he's not going to steal 25 bases, especially now with how valuable he's going to be to that Yankee offense. He runs more. He runs better than Martinez does. And also, Benintendi is more of a traditional two-hitter than anyone the Yankees would have had otherwise last year.
Although I can see Benintendi hitting 25-30 home runs at some point.
I mean,
he hit 20 last year in his rookie, basically his rookie season. So Yeah, man, you look at that lineup, and I think Bogaerts to me is the one guy I want to see. I just think there's a bigger bat in there somewhere, much bigger bat.
I'm sure the orders of number 28 are all over the internet right now. Is that number he's going to wear? Because Cora had to give up his number, which was number 20. What a big controversy that is, huh?
Well, managers nowadays, especially guys like Francona, you don't know what their number is because you never see them in uniform. They all wear coats.
I think they should just wear like a question mark or exclamation point or something like that.
By the way, Amber Red Sox, 3-0 Red Sox currently on top of Pittsburgh at the top of the ninth, 13-2.
Wow, 162 and
so, Rusny Castillo is being a problem. I mean, what do you do with him? I obviously, this is a joke, but I mean, he hit another home run today. He's hitting about 900 in 10 at-bats. And, I mean, what if he – I mean, he had a good year at Pawtucket last year. What do you do with him? You can't get rid of him.
It's something about the contract if he comes to the majors, it ends up being far more against the salary cap and against that luxury tax. So that's the reason why I think TC has told us that they don't want to bring him up, because once he comes up, it inflates their salary cap a lot more. So we'll have to ask him more tomorrow. As far as Martinez goes today, Arnie, I'm with you. I think he said a lot of the right things.
Oh, I stand corrected. I'm sorry about that. It was Hanley that said that about stepping on the neck, but go ahead.
Okay. No. So Martinez said most of the right things, but this one I thought was a little bit interesting about being the designated hitter.
You know, to me, it's baseball, really. I'm just kind of thinking about it. I take it every game, how I've been playing this game for, you know, since I was a kid, and continue to do the same routine I've been doing, you know, whether it's DHing or playing the outfield. You know, that was part of the deal coming in, you know, is knowing that I am going to play the outfield, but I am going to DH at times too. Kind of just do the same thing I've been doing, really.
He sounds like a guy who thinks he's going to play the outfield a whole lot more than I think he's going
to
play the outfield.
I was about to say, is there something I'm not knowing about? I didn't know that was part of the plan to make him start, 50 games or whatever it is in the outfield.
I don't know the answer to this. Maybe you do. Did he DH a lot with Detroit? Or was he most of the time
in
the outfield?
Right field because Miguel Cabrera, Victor Martinez would have been the guys playing at DH.
Well, I asked that because he says, I assume I'm just going to pretty much do what I've always done. Really?
Yeah. There's no way that if everybody's healthy, and that's your hope as the Red Sox, that Bradley, Benintendi, and Betts are all healthy, and if that's the case, then Martinez doesn't slot into that outfield because he's not the outfielder that those guys are. Now, you're going to see early in the season because the second series of the season, the Red Sox are in Miami taking on the Marlins in a National League park. Maybe Cora puts him in the outfield one game there just to get him in the lineup, but he's not going to be able to play out there as much as I think he thinks he is if everyone's healthy.
Let me nitpick on Cora for a second here. You heard him say, I'm assuming I'm going to play in the outfield, I'm going to DH, blah, 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 right? Is that what he, for the most part, said? Let's paraphrase that.
Yes.
Whose problem is that? Isn't that Cora's fault for saying, you know, you're the manager? Shouldn't it already have told him, this is what you're going to be doing, this is the plan
maybe
for you?
Maybe he has.
Well, he just said, I assume.
I don't think so. I think that would fall more on front office as part of the luring to the, you know, trying to lure him
really,
in.
Because I don't think John Farrell would have left that as a question mark. I think he would have said, yeah, I had a talk with the skip, and yeah, this is exactly what our plans are, and we're not guessing or assuming nothing on. I don't know. Maybe if I'm nitpicking, tell me, but I would think that, you know, the old thing, like a Girardi would say, okay, this is what we're bringing you in for. I hope to start you 50 games here, 100 games here, give you 12 games rest or whatever the hell it is and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, you figure an average 6 to 7 games a week for most of the season. Obviously, in April, that won't be the case. But for most of the season, that's what you get. Betts will take one day off. Benintendi will take a day off. Bradley will probably take a day off. You slot Martinez into any one of those spots. I mean, he can't play all the outfield positions, but we'll see. I think he's probably going to play the outfield a couple, maybe 1 to 2 times a week. You think that's high?
I think that's high. I really do. I bet if everybody's healthy, I bet he plays less than 30 games in the outfield this year. And I bet most of those are in interleague games.
Trying to think who else would be out there that's going to slot in.
Well, Nunez, I mean, Swihart.
See, I don't think of them as outfielders, but yeah. I mean,
Nunez, Swihart, Castillo. I mean, they're all guys that are possibilities, I think, that would play over Martinez.
Holt.
You know, you have other guys on the roster. Yeah. And once Pedroia comes back, you're going to need places for Nunez to play. He's going to become the jack of all trades. Maybe he goes out in the outfield.
So what do you say? Just trade Jackie? Didn't I say trade?
No, you don't trade Jackie Bradley Jr.
Yes, that's exactly what you do. That's exactly what you do, Brady.
No, it is not.
Not if you don't get anything in return.
Not even that. I wouldn't trade him no matter what. You have one of the best outfields in all of baseball right now, as currently constructed. You have one of the best DHs in all of baseball who can also serve as a fourth outfielder. You are set there. Hanley Ramirez is the guy who is the odd man out in all this, and he's got, if he hits 500 plate appearances, he's due $22 million more next year. You don't want him getting 500 plate appearances. This keeps him out of doing that. This is exactly how it's supposed to be.
I don't think you could have a luxury of having extra guys that you could use for the outfield when you have other glaring holes that you need to fill on up.
What other glaring holes
do
the Red Sox
have? Well, I like pitching. Give me another pitcher. I always wanted Jake Arrieta, but I know I can't get him because the money is going to be through the roof. But I mean, if you think I'm going to be happy with the starting rotation because everybody thinks they're better than the Yankees, I think you're fooling yourself. And wait till you see 2 months in, you're going to be going, you're 100% right on that.
I agree with you that I think they could use another starter and a lefty reliever. But I'm telling you, their offense at least projects
and
as well as you can.
And Jackie Bradley Jr. is not a good offensive
Gold glove caliber outfielder.
Massive
defense
streaky.
Is overrated.
He's as streaky a hitter as you'll ever see. Yeah. And so we'll see. But I mean, you look at them on paper now. You put JD Martinez into the that middle of that batting order, and they look pretty loaded. Are they Yankee loaded? No, not quite. But that's a pretty good lineup if guys have the years you think they're going to have, like Betts and Bradley.
Let's get to the Tom Ferretaro text line, but somebody's actually complimenting me. So
what?
Read Vic in Burlington.
Stop.
Go ahead.
Vic in Burlington says, hey, I've been listening to 101.3 since I moved to Burlington in 2008. I've seen all the variations of this show, and this team is by far the most enjoyable. You guys don't take yourselves too seriously, but you tackle sports conversations in a respectful and educated way, and you're actually funny.
That's probably for me.
No need to post this on air, but I wanted to give you props. Well, thanks, Vic. We're going to tell everyone anyways.
Well, don't put it on the air, though. Yeah.
Next one's on me, buddy.
Wow, look at you.
Wow.
Buying the props out there.
Arnie, you were just called respectful and educated.
Yeah.
I just want everyone to hear that for a second time.
You take that back, Vic. You take that back, damn you, for crying out loud.
Wow.
All right, we're off and running. Hour one in the books, or not hour one, first segment in the books, because I was looking at the Bruins coming up next.
So much for educated.
Yeah, so much for educated there. You're excited about the Bruins, or you're not excited?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. Save that. That's called a tease in the business.
Oh, okay.
You ruined it.
I don't know anything about teasing, that's for sure.
Well, we'll get to the Bruins when we get back right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Arnie injured himself playing basketball. Again. How is it that he never sprains his mouth? This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. By the way, I think I want to move from Williston to, like, South Hero.
I wouldn't blame you. Yeah. Why is that?
I don't know. I just feel like it.
What does that have to do with anything?
Nothing. I was just thinking about that just now.
It's a pretty quiet place. The islands are pretty quiet in the winter. It's great.
I know you like it out there. You talk about it all the time.
Yes, it's where I spend much of the year.
I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to have to look into that.
Doesn't it cost a lot more?
It does.
I don't know.
What, are you going to get one of those lakefront estates that the Flatlanders are taking over the islands with?
My mother-in-law won't live forever. She can't spend my whole inheritance.
Wow.
Is this thing on?
Man.
Thank goodness she's not listening. That's
well,
all
you
I
hope
say.
Not.
Read what Glennon Monkton went ahead and wrote there, Brady.
Poor Brady.
JD Martinez will be used in the outfield to give rest to other players. They will be better rested then when it comes time for the playoffs. And on a side note, Brady, I'm sorry to hear about King Felix. He is an amazing pitcher no matter what team he plays for. Glenn, thank you. He used to be amazing. Now he's just a little bit above average, but I still don't want to see him hurt. And I found out he got hit in the elbow, not the hand. And with the Mariners' luck, I'm sure it's broken, and I'm sure he'll be out until June, and I'm sure I'm going to cry tonight.
Yeah, you probably will. I'll even say this about King Felix. He's probably the most underrated pitcher in the last, 15, 20 years?
Yeah.
Yes, yep. I would agree.
Yeah, a lot of it's to do with where he plays.
Robbed out of a second Cy Young.
He had 18 wins in 2015, so not that long ago.
Wins haven't been big for him. He's just been dominant. I mean, it piled up the Ks. His ERAs have generally been good until very recently, but it's, man, playing in Seattle, and I don't mean that against you, Brady. I'm just saying the East Coast bias is alive and well, and yet you continue to watch the replay. You just watched it again.
I did. I'm a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Is that what they call a masochist?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I am. I have to not only – because I don't believe that if the team ever gets good, that I will deserve that success without having experienced every single low of the franchise. Like, I hate when people – like, you know, you turn off the game when the team is losing, mm-hmm. and then the team wins the Super Bowl and you're bragging about it. No. You don't deserve it.
Right. You're a fair weather bandwagon jumper.
Because you weren't there when the team was at its low point. So I will put myself through every possible low point so so that if there is ever a high point, I can say I earned it.
A true fan right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Now I can't read Lester in Huntington because my wife had the text on in and I can't scroll on down.
He says, is Arnie nervous about the investigation into college athletics? I can only imagine how much Arizona offered to pay him to not play basketball.
I was one of the last cuts when I tried out for the team. Yeah. I want you to know that.
For what?
For Arizona. Like, we were 4-24 when I went to school there, 1-17 in the Pac-10.
What? We were a last cut on a Division One power.
No, not even close to that. Let me tell you something. It was so bad. I was like the third to last cut. We were so bad that they used to go to the library and tell kids, hey, can you come to the game? And my ex-girlfriend would say, oh, I'm studying. They go, you can study at the game. I mean, they would literally get nobody. Our coach was, I think it was Snowden coach. It was just horrible. We were barely even a Division One team. We were probably like, Binghamton.
Must have been horrible if
we,
you
like we were like Binghamton. We were like Binghamton.
We were Binghamton. Everyone compared. Hey, we were like Binghamton.
We were so bad. Yeah, we were like Binghamton. That we were the you know how Steve Kerr got there? Lute Olson never had seen him play. And he had a scholarship. And they said, we have this kid. He got a scholarship to Fullerton. And Luke goes, well, if he's good enough for Fullerton, he's good enough for us. Just give it to him. That's how Steve Kerr got there.
I've found it hard to believe a lot of the things you've said over the last year and a half. But that one is at the top of the list.
We were
horrible.
You
almost made the University of Arizona basketball team at any year.
Yeah, I know. I know it's hard. I was pretty good when I was Charles Barkley before Charles Barkley. You knucklehead, you. Now, how does it, Brady, how's it go?
You're looking like a knucklehead.
Yeah, you're looking like a knucklehead.
Cleveland Cavalier. Yeah. Think they're going to win a title with Channing Frye.
You could be on the Newlywood game. I suppose you could be on Arizona's
basketball.
Oh, they were that bad, huh?
Yeah, they're horrible. Now, I usually only give you 60 seconds for our hockey, so you're killing into your time. I'm giving you a whole segment. But actually, it's a big deal because the Bruins obviously make a big trade. Brady, set up the trade. Tell me what happened yesterday.
Well, yesterday the Bruins acquired Rick Nash, beating the trade deadline to the punch. They got Rick Nash in a big deal, a lot of pieces at least being exchanged. So the Bruins give up Ryan Spooner, forward Matt Beleski, defenseman Ryan Lindgren, who's at the University of Minnesota, not on the team, a 2018 first-round pick and a seventh-round pick in 2019. The money's going to be even pretty much because they're going to offset Nash's money with Beleski's money. So the money, don't look at that too much, but a lot of pieces going to New York from Boston. And Rich, I'll ask you straight out, what do you think of the deal? Because you are the biggest hockey fan.
Yeah, I would give the Bruins about a B on this, kind of a meh sort of thing. And I really wanted to have a hot take on this because I think it's, as a Bees fan, I was very happy to see them. And my initial thought was, good for them. They are going for it, you know. And then I started thinking about what Nash has done in New York, which is next to nothing for the last 3 years. This is a guy who regularly scored 30 and 40 goals at Columbus, came to New York, had a couple of good years, but he has done very little in the last few years. But you know it's still there. You could see flashes of it last night. He had about three or four grade-A chances in Buffalo, but they really didn't give up a lot. I hate to see him giving up that number one, that first-round pick, but it's going to be a late pick. I was thrilled to get rid of any amount of the Beleski contract, even if it was only half. Spooner, 9 goals this year. Just wasn't happening. I love the fact that Krejci now has that guy like Nathan Horton, like Milan Lucic, you know, as a line mate now. He seemed to really fly when he had those guys back in 2011 and 2013. I didn't see anything else there. I think it's a good it's a win now, and you just don't see that very often from the Bruins.
Yeah, go ahead.
Say what I like about it is that the Bruins realize that they want to go in and try to win a Stanley Cup. So the fact that they made a move shows that they know that they're all in for this year. That's the first thing. Yeah, he's a little bit up there in age, but I don't think he's washed up or anything like that. I mean, he's big. He's physical. He's not a sniper or anything like that, but he can go ahead and certainly work it in the zone. He's been unlucky sometimes. His playoff stats are not very good, but I don't worry about stuff like that. That doesn't really concern me. So I think it was a good pickup, as you said, Rich. They didn't give up a whole heck of a lot to get him. So I think it's going to work out. Plus, now that they made a move, they brought up the kid who was the captain in the Olympics. So even though he's only like 5'7", right?
He's 40 years old.
You mean Gianta?
not a kid, but whatever. Yeah. He's only like 5'7". So I think overall it will work out okay. It's not like that puts him over the top to win the Stanley Cup, but it's just another piece to the puzzle.
And, I mean, he immediately becomes the team's fourth leading goal scorer. You know, it's not like he's doing nothing. He does have 18 goals in New York, and I just loved what I saw from him last night. I love the fact this is the kind of stuff that matters to me. It doesn't seem to matter to anyone else, but the fact that he immediately got on that plane the second this trade was announced and wanted to play in that game last night in Buffalo. Granted, Buffalo's not far for him to go, but he made the effort. How often do you see that? And there he was out there, 17, 18 minutes of ice time and a lot of scoring chances.
I think he had 9 shots. Yeah. He had 1 hit the post. So, look, I like the move, too. And while I don't – I value prospects and everything, but – I don't know these hockey prospects. We don't get attached to hockey prospects as much as we get attached to baseball prospects. So Lindgren being 20 years old at the University of Minnesota, yeah, he could be good, but it's not like I've been hearing about him for years like I'd been hearing about a Yoan Moncada when he was with the Red Sox. You're right about the draft pick. You don't like to give up draft picks that are a first-round variety, but you're right. It's going to be at least outside the top 20 because the Bruins are going to the playoffs, so it might not matter that much. Spooner was a free agent at the end of the year. You were probably not going to be able to retain him because he was going to want more money than you would have been willing to give. And as you said, I like it because it's a win-now move and they're going for it. And I feel like this year, more than any other recent year that I can remember, teams have to go for it in the NHL because, I mean, look at the teams that I expect. The team that the novice hockey fans expect to be good aren't. Detroit's not good. They've been good for 20 years, and now they're on the Rangers are in last place after being, you know,
terrible.
Chicago's awful. Montreal's awful. Ottawa was awful. Even the Penguins are in third place in their own division, though.
Look out.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, so I feel like you have to go for it because the old guard that I expect to be really good just isn't right
now. What is Trevor in St. Albans writes on it, like a whole book and a half? So why don't you read those tweets that are coming in on the Town Fair Tire text line? And by the way, it's a little disturbing because you guys always text in, more hockey, more hockey, more hockey. Here's a major trade for the Bruins. So let's hear from the Bruin fans, 802-655-6672, Brady.
I love the way he threatens to not talk about it anymore every time. It's like, you either respond to us or I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
Trevor says, Nash has done nothing this year because the team was so bad overall. He just looked like he had a bit of rejuvenation to him last night just being out there. Arnie, he is a pure goal scorer, maybe not as much now, but that's what they brought him here for. Playing with Krejci, he should do very well.
Well, I just said he wasn't a sniper, but that he will give you goals. I did say that.
He was the best player on the ice for the Bruins last night. I mean, that was a putrid performance. It was kind of frustrating because the trade was so exciting, and I couldn't wait for 5 o'clock yesterday to watch that game, and they go out there and just lay an egg. Against the second-worst team in the NHL.
A couple things real quick also, because we do have Dallin Cuff coming up in a few minutes from ESPN to talk hoops, college hoops. The Lightning follow up the move, and they go get Ryan McDonough from the Rangers. Now, they gave up a lot. Only one player that's on their roster, but there's a couple prospects, first and second-round pick. They get a good defenseman in McDonough. They also get JT Miller, who's got 40 points this season also. So you feel good about making a move for Rick Nash yesterday, and here come the Lightning making a better move win now. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. That's a great trade. I only say it's a great trade because we're talking about draft picks and a lot of guys, some kid named Brett Howden, a Libor Hajek. I don't even know how to pronounce it. But Tampa Bay is an embarrassment of riches right now, and as a Bruins fan, I hate this trade because Tampa is the team directly in their way.
There was a lot of people pulling the trigger today. I saw Stasny getting traded. A lot of people sent all over.
Evander Kane.
I saw that, too. I was a little surprised about that
and
one.
And Eric Karlsson didn't leave Ottawa. He was the one. He was almost a sure thing, according to many.
I liked it. I liked the trade deadline. People go ahead moving people all over
you
the place.
Did? You liked something about hockey?
Give me a little try. I'm not anti. I watch a lot of hockey. My kid plays hockey. What are you talking? Oh,
I know, but
just real quick on a side note, my kid was coming back from Canada. The guy at the border listens to our show and knew exactly who my son was.
Which border crossing? That could come in handy at 3 a.m.
It was like Montreal, on the way up toward
there. Montreal border crossing.
Heading toward up that way. I've never been up that way. But, yeah, he knew. He's like, I keep working hard. I listen to the guys all the time. Tell him I say hi. Oh, and a funny thing is, he wanted to be a player. He couldn't be a player. So him and his two other friends decided they were going to be hockey referees, right?
Nice.
He didn't have the $5,000 to be the hockey referee, so now he's up at the Border Patrol. His other two friends, they did. They're now in the Hall of Fame for being an official. How crazy is that, huh?
Good. That's comforting to know you cannot have enough friends at the Canadian border. Trust me.
Oh, they said next time they'll just wave you through. Top Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672, Brady.
We got to go to break.
Oh, okay. Well, tell everybody who's coming up next.
Dallin Cuff's going to join us. He's an ESPN college basketball analyst. He played his college basketball at Columbia University, and he happens to know our buddy from Middlebury, Kobe Altman, GM of the Cavaliers.
All those Ivy League guys. Well, Middlebury's not Ivy League, but the Ivy League guys. We'll get to that coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The
Commercials are over, and the guys are back. The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN. By the way, next segment, we'll have the new four-minute football fix. A little side note that I want to get to in the four-minute football fix, a breaking story that happened about 30 minutes ago that involves the Dallas Cowboys. So I
can't. Yeah. Oh, by the way, breaking news on the Bruins. They did make one other move that I'm going to guess is relatively small. They acquire Tommy Wingles from the Blackhawks for a conditional fifth-round pick in 2019.
Just knew. I thought he was with San Jose, but it shows you how much I know about him. He was actually a Shark. And also, one that would be of interest, the Canadians traded Thomas Plekanec to the Maple Leafs yesterday.
I know. We got the Rangers and Devils making trades with each other, and the Maple Leafs and Canadians.
The Leafs are making a run at this thing, man. Do not overlook them. They are having a hell of a year, remember?
Yeah. They're right on the Bruins' butt, and they stole a game from them in Toronto on Saturday night.
Oh, so, yeah, don't overlook them. I'm kind of curious to see how they're going to – they've been waiting a long time up there in Toronto for the Leafs. They live and die with the Leafs up there.
I'll say.
Oh, geez. It's just – every time they lose it, like, it's just
– I had to put up with Ryan Matlack running the
program. Oh, yeah, that's right. Ryan
years. That's all he ever talked about.
Yeah, every
so you guys
day.
Probably talked hockey every day for hours.
Yeah, it could be the middle of July, and the Yankees and Red Sox are in the middle of a four-game set at Fenway, and we're talking about the Maple Leafs.
You know what's funny? I have no idea how this happened, but I got a notification that somebody had retweeted our station account today, 101.3 ESPN, and it was a trade. It was a hockey trade. Get this one. So it said, NHL trade, Blue Jackets deal forward RJ Umberger to the Flyers for Scott Hartnell. I'm like, what year is this tweet from? It was from 2014. Somebody dug up a tweet from 2014 and retweeted it like it was new.
Scott Hartnell, yeah, I was like,
oh, he's a nasty one.
Yeah, that was quite long ago. While we're waiting for Dallin Cuff to come on with us because he's the college basketball expert, I can't wait to see what he's going to have to say about Arizona and that whole mess with Sean Miller. I'm kind of curious to see if Sean Miller is going to get reinstated because DeAndre Ayton has never been suspended and not committed any wrongdoing, according to the FBI, that is, Rich.
Was that him taking all that abuse in Oregon over the weekend?
What do you think about that? I didn't have much of a problem. The Oregon fan base, some kid went to the store and bought $100,000, or excuse me, what are they called? $100,000 grand candy bars?
$100,000 bar.
Oh, $100,000 bar, and handed them out to the crowd and some had posters of the candy bar, and they held them up, which DeAndre went off for 28 points, by the way.
He did.
But I don't know, is that over the top? I was kind of okay with that.
I think it's funny. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing isn't funny, but they took it and made it funny, and the home team won in a thrilling game.
It was a fantastic game. Yeah.
I think it's, like, I wouldn't have done it. I think it's very college and very juvenile, so therefore I think it belongs in college. I think it's more appropriate than when you go after somebody's family.
We were talking about
Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
You know, had, you know, his dad was killed.
Yeah.
And people were talking about that, you know, the next time they played. I remember J.J. Reddick's sister got a lot of grief.
Yeah.
You know, you stay away from families. If you want to go with the kid about this stuff, I can get a little bit more on board with that. I wouldn't do it, but it's better than going after the family.
Does it depend on the sport? Did you see who won the golf tournament this weekend? I forget his name.
Justin Thomas.
Did you see what happened to him?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness!
He wasn't very happy.
You got to toughen up, Buttercup. I guess you know when people swing, and usually you hear this in the Phoenix Open.
Yeah, it's been
as
happening.
Soon as the ball gets hit, yeah, get in the hole, get in the hole.
Right.
Well, I guess some clown decided to yell after Justin Thompson.
During his backswing, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I thought it when he hit the ball.
You can yell all you want once the ball is hit.
No, I thought it was after it was hit. Well, as far as I know, it was after he was hit, the guy in the gallery yelled, "Get in the bunker! Get in the bunker!"
Oh, I didn't hear
and,
it. Okay.
And that's why he goes, "What did you say?" He said, "I said get in the bunker." He goes, "You're out of here," because he was rooting against him. It wasn't because it was in the backswing.
Yeah.
It's because he said get in the bunker. Because he was rooting against him. He went on to win the event anyway. But
he did.
Is that wrong to do that in golf? Can you not root against the guy?
Boy, don't you think golf needs something like that?
Well, I remember of Caddyshack, and they're yelling, "Miss it, miss it, Noonan, miss it, miss it." You're like, you can't do that.
No, but I mean, I saw a situation of, what was it, a couple weeks ago where Tiger Woods was in the middle of a putt, and somebody screamed
In the back swing.
I mean, that's the stuff jerk out of there.
It was a photographer that accidentally took the picture in his backswing. And I'm like, and of course, Tiger unleashed profanities like, a drunken sailor. I'm like, come on, man. You know, easy. I know I'm not a professional golfer, but if some click on a camera is going to throw you off, come on.
Well, like as always, I didn't see all of that because when it comes to golf on Sunday, I watched the last hole.
Right, so. Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous, though. I don't like it. I don't like it from the fans' perspective, I'm saying. I don't mind that Thomas did it. Now, Thomas thinking he's high and mighty can get the guy thrown out and actually have it work.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So
maybe
that's something that we have a problem with also, but I don't have a problem with him being upset about this. There's no place for it in golf. There's no place for it in tennis. These are supposed to be, you know, gentlemanly and ladylike sports, so the fans need to uphold that decorum also.
Yeah, but do you feel like that's what golf is now?
I
mean, do you feel like golf is getting a little rowdier? I heard him talking about it this morning that there's a bar on basically every hole, and people are tailgating out in the parking lot before they come in, and I think it's getting a little more rambunctious.
You know, by the way, speaking about being a little snippety, I know I'm being all over the place here. You want to talk about a guy that was upset last night, Russell Westbrook? What's his face?
As well, he should have been.
That's something I do in a way.
Are you telling me that we shouldn't be mad at Zaza for that? That guy should be, I won't say thrown out of the league.
He purposely dove at Westbrook's leg, but he didn't hurt him that bad.
So what?
But that's something I do, Brady.
He fell right on his leg.
Yeah, but he didn't hurt him.
I was more interested in Carmelo Anthony and Draymond going at it.
That was fun.
What looked like a clean block from Draymond and Melo getting mad that he got hit. And I like Melo, but I thought he was a little off base there.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff.
How is Pachulia even still in the league? I mean, he's the dirtiest player. It's like the fourth time he's done something flat out dirty.
He did the Kawhi Leonard closing in, putting his foot underneath him in the playoffs, which pretty much ended that series, and Kawhi really couldn't come back for the most part after that.
At some point, the NBA's got to look at Pachulia and just say, I mean, this one was ridiculous.
Yeah, but
too.
You know what? He didn't.
I mean, you saw it.
I did. And yes, he purposely fell over, but what he didn't do is you got to come down with your elbow pointed,
You have to perform an elbow smash. I mean, the guy's trying to. You need to be somewhat subtle about it. You can't smash your elbow into the back of his leg.
You know what? What he did yesterday, let me just tell you what that is called. That's called Bill Laimbeer in every game. Okay? I want you to know that. That's Bill Laimbeer in every game of his career, Rich. In the NBA.
I know.
Okay,
that's Johnny Most.
Yeah, he had a permanent little black eye.
He's telling people out there, Jake O'Donnell, where are your glasses?
And by the way, LeBron and I guess a lot of the other superstars getting pretty upset at the officiating. But we'll get to that a little bit later on because joining us now on the TikTok Jewelers guest line, he is ESPN college basketball analyst, played his college ball at Columbia University, also works at NBC Sports in New England, covered the Olympics. He does just about everything. It's Dallin Cuff. How you doing, Dallin?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Thanks a lot for coming by. Hey, right off the bat, I went to Arizona, so I just want to go ahead and admit that. I'm a diehard. I'm a homer every which
he
way
is
possible.
Yeah.
DeAndre Ayton, he got the play. They even had to clear his name. He was cleared all over the place. Why isn't Sean Miller allowed to coach? Why hasn't he been reinstated ASAP?
I mean, that's the million-dollar question. I don't think anybody can answer that right now. The feds might be able to answer it, but I don't know about us being able to answer it. The whole thing's been an interesting paradox to me. I assumed if Ayton's going to play, you know, Sean would coach. But again, there must be more complexities in the situation. If he's the one that's, you know, being said, if they have, that's what they feel they have, obviously, the wiretap, if he said something, then maybe from their school standpoint, he's more liable to be caught. Maybe DeAndre has, you know, plausible deniability. Maybe it was a family member. I don't know. Maybe there's a way they believe the kid and they're not willing to trust. They want to investigate further if it's their coach. It's a very interesting situation, to say the least. But along with Sean or anybody else right now, this is just the beginning. This is going to be a long process for everybody that this thing touches. So this isn't new.
You're a big-time media person, so let me ask you, would you ever dare write or repeat this story or report this story without hearing the wiretap yourself? Because Mark Schlabach did not hear the wiretap. Nobody's heard the wiretap. That's sealed.
Well, I mean, it depends on who your sources are. I think that's the matter. The fact of the matter is, if you have people that you trust and you believe in that are talking to you, and this is what's been interesting about this process. A lot of times with these federal investigations, FIFA is a great example. That's been the analogous situation to me the entire time. We're on year three there. They've already got Sepp Blatter, who is number one. His number two and number three have all been taken out of their roles, and they're still extraditing people, and they're still sentencing people, and they're still taking people to trial, and we're 3 years in. So I'm not sure what their end goal is here, but I know, remember, that thing just dropped out of nowhere. I mean, literally, they had a raid in Switzerland on all these dudes, and nobody had any clue it was coming. So well, my point is they're very airtight with their information. So this has been really a bit of a revelation here, because remember, it came out in September. We really haven't heard much since then. All of a sudden, things start to pop up now. I'm not sure if it's a desire by the FBI to have a certain narrative out there in the marketplace, especially when college basketball is at its highest point in time. I'm not sure if one agent no longer works there anymore. I don't know what happened. I just think it's really interesting that all of a sudden guys have sources. If you feel good about your sources and you're confident in who they are, and you have more than one, obviously, then you can go with it. And I think it's an individual judgment by Schlabar, whoever is reporting any story, no matter what it is, you've got to feel confident who's giving you the information, that it is accurate and it is reported properly.
Dallin, I heard the phrase tip of the iceberg a lot in the around the media this weekend. I mean, just how ugly is this going to get for the NCAA, do you think?
There's no telling. And it's not only for the NCAA, really. It's for the individual schools as it relates to NCAA rules. The NCAA is going to do as much as they want with this and go as far as they want with it. Now, there should be some rules changes. And Mark Emmert, who I put very little stock in anything he says, to be very honest, but they at least have this committee. They're going to try to do some changes, one of which would probably be allowed to interact with an agent. That should be something that should be able to happen. And we saw it happen in hockey and baseball most recently. They've made those changes in college baseball and college hockey. The NBA and the college basketball players should be no different. Like, there shouldn't be anything wrong with me sitting down with an agent. Now, if he begins to, you know, broker on my behalf and is giving me money and is working deals, that's a different story. But even hiding the introduction to an agent seems a bit much. And even, you know, some of the reports, I mean, some of these guys, it was like a meal for like $70. And that is a violation, but it's like, that's nothing in comparison to giving $100,000 directly for a player and that's funneled through a coach. That's a problem. That's a different story. But it is this tip of the iceberg, and it's going to be a long process for the schools, for the NCAA as it relates to adjudicating their laws, and if some of those laws and rules will change, we shall see. But it's going to be, that's why I keep saying FIFA. We're not looking at months, we're looking at years down the road here.
Dallin, up here, we are all focused on the University of Vermont men's hoop team, 14-1 in the America East, hoping for another NCAA tournament berth. Are they getting any love in Bristol? Are our buddies Adnan Virk and Doug Kazarian and yourself giving the Catamounts any love, even behind closed doors?
I love the shout-out to Kazarian there, too. I was the other day when they almost lost to, I think it was Albany went on the road about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I was adamant about this needs to be in the show if they lose. I mean, that's a huge story. They hadn't lost an American East game at that point in 2 years. Obviously, they got knocked off since then. I like their team a lot. I've been a big proponent of them. When they went and played at Kentucky, I was excited to see how they handled that. I saw them live when they played at Yale. When I was up in Bristol, I had an early game and a day off and went down there and watched them. I love their team, but without Anthony Lamb, if they're not as dynamic, they're not the same. So if he can come back and he can be healthy, that's a game changer. Obviously, getting through that tournament is awful. I mean, John Becker has said this to me multiple times. You think about Bob McKillop when they were in the Southern Conference. You know, real pressure isn't playing in a high major conference when you're in the conference tournament. Most times you already know you're in. Big time pressure is when you're, you know, 18-0 or 29-2 on the season, and you have to win that conference tournament, or your season really is a bust. And that's really what Vermont is looking at, unfortunately. And that's, you know, Becker's team's been able to succeed in recent years and get over the hump and get in the tournament and be a team that people were concerned about. And I think if Lamb can get healthy, they can do that. Trey Bell Haynes is one of the best point guards in the country. There's no qualifier about that. He absolutely is. But he would need his running mate, if you will. There's talent around him, don't get me wrong. But you kind of need that guy Lamb in there to make a difference as it relates to not just getting into the tournament, but making noise once they're there.
Dallin, let's go to your playing career. You said you played at Columbia, but then afterwards you were a broadcaster for Columbia University. And so you got a chance to run into Kobe Altman, who's our buddy, played up at Middlebury up here, and now the GM of the Cavaliers. So tell us about your relationship with Kobe, and are you surprised to see him now being the GM of arguably one of the most important franchises in the NFL?
Not surprised. I mean, the guy is tremendously smart, great basketball mind, a great evaluator, identifier of talent. And I did have a chance to get to know him when he was at Columbia, and we spent obviously a lot of time together during before games and stuff like that, and talking. I would go see him at practice. I would play a little bit with some of the guys, but we actually really became really close when they went on a foreign trip. And somehow, as a boondoggle, I got to go and do like 9 interviews in like 8 days, and got to go. I mean, I still can't believe that even happened. But I spent a lot of time with Kobe there. We had an awesome time together. I got to know him personally really well as the rest of the coaching staff, Kyle Smith, Carlin Hartman, Kevin Hubby, Mike Magpio. That staff was fantastic. those guys played really well over there. It was a great bonding experience for the team and for the program, and for me to be part of it was tremendous. But getting to know Kobe a lot after that, we talked a good amount. And then once he went to the Cavs, it was one of the player development people or the talent evaluators as it relates to college players. We talked a lot about college players and who he was into, who I had seen, blah, blah, blah. I mean, a lot of those guys, they're scouts and work in the personnel department for different NBA teams. They just try to get as much information as they can. So guys like myself that are seeing a lot of players, that are talking to coaches a lot, we build a pretty good rapport with not just Kobe, obviously, who's personal, but everybody else I've run across professionally. They just want to get as much information as possible. So they're picking your brain and getting some insights on the player, the person, how he's coached, how he works out, warm-ups, and shoot-arounds, other things that aren't just in the game. They try to see as much as they can, but they know they can't see everything, and they want to get as much info as possible. So not surprised that Kobe got that opportunity. I think he's doing a great job. I mean, I did text him right away when I saw the first couple of trades. I was like, man, you are busy. And, like a minute later, another one went off. I was like, this is wild. He was like, yeah, man, it's been great. It's been an exciting day. He was excited to see what they're rebuilding, you know, we're trying to build there, given I think everybody saw they had some chemistry issues, and they're trying to correct them. So it was exciting to see. They've now hit a little wobble with this team, but again, they've been together for like 400 minutes of basketball. So let's give them some time, and I think they'll figure it out. When you got LeBron running the show, it always kind of helps.
Now, Dallin, you were at NBC Sports Boston, I guess Comcast Sportsnet at the time, and a lot of Celtics talk obviously goes on down there. And, I mean, really, is it Marcus Smart that's causing this sort of righting of the ship? Or, I mean, why? And have they righted the ship, as you see it?
I think this is kind of the dog days of the NBA season. I mean, you're trying to work on your chemistry, and you're trying to figure some things out. I don't think you can say they've righted the ship until we see when the lights are brightest, when we get into late April and May, and things really matter. And it's one thing to do it on a night-to-night basis in a league where some nights some teams just don't show up, or some they're not committed to winning. Everybody's not locked in. And I think right now you get in that period of time where it's tough to judge yourselves because the competition may be in and out in some nights. Some guys are resting people. Some dudes are kind of in and out mentally. I know they just came off the All-Star break, but still, everybody that's worth a salt is focused on late April. And when that comes around, I think we'll really know. But until then, it's hard to make a determination.
Dal, we'll get you out of here on this. I'm sad because the Winter Olympics are over. You actually covered the Summer Olympics out in Rio. So, one, what was that like? And two, did you have to learn Portuguese in order to be able to do that?
I didn't have to. I chose to. I wanted to have an angle to. I wanted to have an angle to get down there. So I knew that it was a long shot. I mean, working for NBC for about 1 year. A year and a half before they start to make the determination of who goes. So I decided to, I always wanted to learn a language. I was supposed to learn French in school, but I was absolutely horrible. So I decided to just take a plunge and learn Portuguese. It took about a little less than 2 years, but I mean, it was well worth it. It was an experience of a lifetime. I did all my interviews and all our feature pieces in Portuguese, which was fun and a little nerve-wracking at the beginning, but then we settled in, and it was great. And it was just like a lifetime experience. I mean, to be down there for 30-some days, and really immerse yourself in I've been in Brazil 2 times before that, and love the culture, love the people, love the food. Obviously, I had an affinity for the language, and really happy to learn that. But it was just like such a great experience. All these things we got to see, and whether it was the actual events themselves or the people or the city of Rio changed, what it was, everybody embraced it. There's such a warm culture and warm people down there. It made it such a fun event to be part of, and to be down there for a whole month. I mean, my wife came down at the end. We got to travel for about 2 weeks afterwards too, so it was just an all around like an amazing experience. Not so much a Winter Games guy. Summer is way more on my alley, so glad that worked out. But it is a really unique and special assignment. So I was really happy to be able to do it, and if I ever worked for NBC again, I'd be happy to do it again. I'd love to do it again, but we'll see if that happens.
Wow, good stuff, man. Good stuff. Can't wait to have you on again. Can't wait to see what happens in the NCAA tournament. We'll certainly do it again, okay?
Anytime, guys. Just let me know.
All right, take care, everybody. Oh, wow, that's great. Dallin Cuff, everybody, ESPN college basketball analyst. And, wow, that was some good stuff he had there.
Imagine waking up one day and saying, I think I'll learn Portuguese.
Yeah, well, that's, when you go to an Ivy League school or top school like I did, Kobe Altman, who went to Middlebury, and Of course, Dallin went to Columbia. High academics, Rich.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, be like that. All right. You know what, Eric in Colchester, Texas. What about the NFL? We're gonna have that 4 minutes.
No, I think I must have said. I think he's making fun of me. I think I called the Cavaliers in the NFL instead of the NBA. I love when people hang on every word. Hours of live radio, and you're not allowed one mistake.
You're not. You're
I know.
Not
you have to be
perfect.
People
are doing.
But now I have a greater appreciation because I used to make fun of my old boss when he would say stupid things. Now I know what it's like.
All right. Brady's going to have a Sports Center update at the top of the hour. We'll reset. We'll have the 4 minute football update coming up after the update of the, whatever the hell I'm talking about. After the Brady update. How about that?
All heading into that corner.
Sports Center update next, and then a new segment after that.
Right here on 101.3 ESPN.
I miss football. You miss football. We all miss football. So let's talk some football. Training camp may be a ways away, but we'll help you through the wait. This is your 4 minute football fix on the Huddle 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Lots to get to. Hour number two of the show. We got Monday Mirage stopping on by. Trey Bell Haynes is also going to go ahead and stop on by. We'll talk to him.
Monday Mirage is a person now stopping on by?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
Monday, how you doing, buddy?
How you doing? Monday Mirage.
Hey, Mr. Mirage.
Mr. Mirage to you there, for crying out loud. Real quick, before we get to the four-minute football fix, Eric in Colchester said, usually you're spot on, so he just wanted to go and throw
So that's why he wanted to tell me that I messed up.
Here comes the butt.
But, no, any Anthony Lamb updates for people that want to? He wanted to know that. Any Anthony Lamb updates?
Well, he's been cleared to play. He was shooting. Well, he's been cleared to practice. He was shooting on the side, I know, before UVM's last game against Stony Brook. He did not dress for that game. The expectation has been is that he would be available for the America East Tournament, which is Saturday. So UVM will take on Maine on Saturday, 7 o'clock here at Patrick Gym. I don't know if he'll play in that game, but the expectation that we heard 2 weeks ago was that he would be ready in 2 weeks, which was the kickoff of the America East.
I would think Maine, at Maine especially, with a team that's just dreadful again this year, would be the perfect situation for him to play
So you want him to play tomorrow?
I would say 5 minutes. I mean,
I don't know that he's going to be ready to play.
I don't know. If he's not ready to play, he's not ready to play. But he was bouncing off the walls at Stony Brook the other day. He looked very ready to play to me. He was a pretty happy camper, a lot of energy on the bench, and I just think a game at Maine is the perfect opportunity if he's capable of doing it to throw him in there for a couple minutes.
Yeah, I was thinking about that also. Brian in Richmond had a good text. This basketball guy told the story. I will tell my kids. I always say that extra hard work and drive is the tipping point in business. Was that because of the story that he told about learning Portuguese?
I think
Portuguese?
So. That basketball guy, Dallin Cuff.
Yes, there you go.
I love this one. Henry and Fletcher, thank you guys for talking hockey. And heck yeah, we got Kevin Nash. I think he means Rick Nash.
Yeah.
So now I don't feel bad about saying the Cavaliers were in the NFL.
Isn't Kevin that? Wasn't that a detective on a...
Kevin James,
Tango
Rick Nash, Riley Nash.
But now, Tango and Nash.
Now, of course,
like
the Bruins have two guys. How are they going to differentiate them on their uniforms? R-I-E Nash and R-I-C Nash?
No, Rick Nash said he's just going to be Nash. He's not going to have any letter.
Well, what's Riley Nash going to do then?
I don't know.
They're just both going to be R Nash or just Nash
just
and Nash?
Just Nash and Nash. The Nash brothers.
It could be like a law firm. Nash and Nash. all right. Time, Brady, for the new 4 minute football fix, my friend.
So we're going
to. No music?
We'll get the NFL primetime
music
as I always
do. Oh, my goodness.
Had a big intro.
Come on. No intro, no.
What are you talking about? No intro.
So you played it earlier. That's like 2 minutes ago. Nobody remembers the intro.
That's your fault that you didn't talk about it.
I know. It's a two-minute football fix.
Yes.
Nice going.
Minute and 36 seconds football fix.
That's an ad. I don't want the YouTube ad. I want the music.
That's just a little, you know.
How about one of those old NFL films, John Facenda?
I'll get it.
I loved it. He doesn't even know who John Facenda is, don't you?
Yes, I do.
I could have been John Facenda before John Facenda. It's the frozen tundra, Rich.
Just like him.
No,
all right.
He should sound like me.
4 minute football fix. We are going to do this every day leading up until the start of training camp. It's going to help you football fans get through a long spring and a long summer of no football. Well, what do we have today? Josh McDaniels, Patriots offensive coordinator, will not travel with Bill Belichick and the rest of the defensive brass to Indy for the scouting combine. McDaniels isn't the only offensive member. Pretty much the whole offensive staff will not be going to the combine. If I'm Josh McDaniels here, I'd be livid at this one.
I don't understand what's going on here because I saw this on Twitter. somebody tweeted it out, and then someone, they were making fun, like, oh, but he changed his mind, you know, stuff like that. I don't know what the hell's going on. Why is he not going? Is there something I'm missing here? I'm not quite figuring it out.
That's my question to you, then, is this his choice not to go, or does he have no choice?
This sounds like it's Belichick's decision because the offensive staff is behind, basically, because of the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl took them a month behind their preparation, so the offensive staff is not going.
At first blush,
that
this
damn Super Bowl.
I think if you take away whether he has an option or not, it comes across to me as McDaniels is absolutely purposely avoiding Indianapolis.
I would be livid if I were McDaniels. If the reason why, supposedly, you stayed was because Belichick was going to tell you, give you the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say.
And tell you how to do everything, then he's not going to take you through the combine, draft prep, how to break down players, how to handle the media obligations there.
So Belichick's going to be there?
Belichick is going to be there, as is Robert Kraft, as is Nick Caserio, who's the player personnel kind of de facto GM.
I wonder if he could do it all over again if he said, no, I'm going to leave.
I'm going to leave, too, if McDaniels just said, oh, geez, not Indy.
Well, look, I agree with you that it's possible that he wants to avoid Indy, but the whole staff doesn't want to avoid Indy. So if I'm McDaniels, you told me that you were going to teach me everything to prepare me better and better how to be a great head coach.
You would think this is part of it.
You would think this is part of it. This is player evaluation. This is player interviews. This is talking with scouts. This is everything that being a coach encompasses, draft prep, and you're getting none of it, and that's supposedly what you told us was one of the key factors in you coming back. So either McDaniels was lying a month ago when he told us that that was one of the reasons he was going to stay.
Or he really took it because of the money.
Or it didn't take long.
Or Belichick isn't living up to his end of the bargain, and McDaniels should be livid. And also, if McDaniels was promised that he was going to be the next head coach, don't you think he would like to see the quarterback prospects that are there? Because, they're all going to be there, and you have pro days. I get that. He can meet them other times, too. But wouldn't you like to see them as much as possible? Because eventually, a guy that you draft could be your guy moving forward if you get that job. I'd be so mad if I were McDaniels.
I am only mad if it's Belichick telling me, hey, you just sit back. We don't want you there because there's so much other stuff to get done. We need you back here at the ranch. I don't even buy that anyway. I'm like, no, I want to go. I want to see what the hell's going on. By the way, isn't he like, if you were going to come up like a title for him, I'm not talking about coordinator, isn't he like second in charge to Belichick now? Isn't that like the he's the right-hand man or something like that,
Brady,
or no?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, seriously, I don't care if you want to call him a coordinator, assistant coach. He's Belichick's guy.
Right,
so,
in that case, can't he just come out and say, sorry, I'm going?
Yeah.
I just don't think Josh McDaniels wants to go. I really don't.
But the whole staff is not going to go because of that?
I understand, but I don't think he's as livid
by
as
the
maybe
way,
you think he is.
I bet you dollars to donuts that he could walk through the city of Indianapolis and 99 out of 100 people won't even know who the hell he was.
Yeah, but Colts management will know who he is,
that's
and they'd be there.
That's true.
I put that number a little lower.
That's true. Can I get to one other story that kind of broke today, or did you have
in
more?
Football? Or
yeah, football.
Yeah, go ahead. We're in the four-minute football fix. We can do whatever we want.
Well, minute number five.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell expected to fine Jerry Jones. They didn't give the money amount. All the reporting is, quote-unquote, millions of dollars. Millions of dollars as a result of the Cowboys owner's public feud with the league last year. Matter of fact, now there's a story that's coming out that Jerry wanted to sue six NFL owners, and Goodell said enough is enough, and they're going to come down. Rumors that they're going to fine him more than $3 million.
That's like three seat licenses at AT&T Stadium.
What the hell did Jerry do to get Goodell? Remember now, he's the one that was very outspoken against Goodell coming back and being resigned as the commissioner. As a matter of fact, if it was up to Jerry Jones, he would not be the commissioner right now if Jerry Jones had the only vote on who it should be. So I think there's a little bit of a conflict of interest that the guy that Jerry hates him back and now is going to fine him millions of dollars.
And isn't the draft in Dallas?
I don't know this year. I can't remember.
I thought the draft was in Dallas.
I don't know. I don't know if it's in Dallas or not, but that's certainly a big conflict. And by the way, what is millions of dollars? Two, three, four, five? I mean, you're not getting fined. Belichick didn't get fined, or not Belichick, Kraft didn't get fined $5 million, did he?
Yes, 2018 draft is in Dallas.
Oh,
so,
geez.
So Jerry and Goodell and the draft coming to a head in a couple of weeks. And one more text. Kevin Nash was a WWE superstar. That was Pat from Richmond who told us that.
Thanks, Pat.
So I had no idea.
By the way, Brian in Fairfax says, I agree with Rich about Daniels. It's not a big
McDaniels,
deal.
Yes.
McDaniels, excuse me.
Jeff Daniels.
Yeah, whatever his name is.
Antonio Daniels.
Yes, that too. It's not a big deal, he's
Charlie
saying.
Charlie Daniels.
So just doesn't want to go ahead and be in Indiana or Indianapolis. So I'm not buying that for a second. Like I said, no hard feelings.
I
the
do.
Feud's on now. The feud's on. So there
the
is.
Rivalry is back.
The rivalry is back.
That's right.
What it is. You know what? They should have T-shirts in that. I could see that making T-shirts at the Colts saying the rivalry's back.
Yes, just in time for their matchup with Indy next year that they'll win by 30 points again.
Wow. All right, there's your new four-minute football fix. We'll do it every day. Get a little football. I'm already missing football. I'm bummed out.
So you're excited about the four-minute football fix.
I'm excited about the four-minute football fix, but I'm not excited about the next 6 months of baseball. That's what I'm not excited about.
Wow.
Sorry.
What a confused
I
man.
Want people on the Town for Tire text line, let us know what you think of the four-minute football fix, and only positives. That's how I roll. Only if you like
and
it.
And you can't use the word Felix at any point.
No, text in, because I'm so crushed about Felix Hernandez getting hit by a line drive today, and I'm sure he's got a shattered elbow or something because it hit him right on his throwing elbow. So I'm sure it's a DL trip that will probably have a complication and a surgery that will have a complication, and he'll be out for the full season. Like, that's where I'm mentally at right now. So if you like the four-minute football fix, make me feel better
on
the text line.
If you we're going to get to J.D. Martinez, but I just want to go ahead and stick this to you that Ohtani got rocked around in his first –
Ohtani's also 1-for-1 with an RBI single and 2 walks today at the plate.
You know, every
so the Angels
girl finds an acorn. Let me tell you something. His pitching is going to be so subpar that he might not even last the whole year.
He's going to have to go back to Japan.
No, he might not last the whole year starting games. They might just say, you know, let's shelve that and just worry about you as a hitter. He got 1 1/3 and gave up two runs.
Yeah,
I don't know how many hits,
done.
A home run, and it just didn't look very
it's
good.
It's like saying the Sox are 4-0, so they're going to win the World
Series.
Well,
I got to say something against the Rich. Come on
no,
now.
No, but I mean,
not letting Babe Ruth come in here.
Listen, I think the whole Ohtani thing is fascinating, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it develops. And one of the things I think that is interesting about it is what happens if he does suck on the mound.
Well,
then
just,
what do you do? Do you just
you
stop
shelve
pitching
it.
Him?
Yeah, that's exactly what I just said. You put that on the back burner for the following year and say, you know what, let's just concentrate on you batting 300 or whatever the hell you
you're both ridiculous.
Batting. Why is that?
He's making league minimum. If
right.
he comes out and he's an average starter, if he comes out this year and goes 10-10 with an ERA at a 4.5.
Oh, that's fine.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, 10-10.
That's not what I'm
wow.
talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, that's I'm talking about
2-7 with
okay.
a 7 ERA.
Then if
yeah,
he's
exactly.
2-7 with a 7 ERA, he's making the league minimum, you send him to AAA. If you really
no.
wanted to go that way.
No, you just keep him up there and let him bat.
No,
and
stop.
He's a
what
better
if he can't hit either?
Then you move him to the bullpen. Like, whatever, okay?
Yeah. All right, well,
but I saw Luis Severino start out like 0-9 3 years ago for the Yankees, and last year he was one of the best pitchers in the American
don't,
League.
Don't get in an argument with Brady today. He's going to be salty all day.
Chris and Virgin, sorry, Rich, but I'm hoping Mr. Martinez has about the same impact on the Sox as their last hype player named J.D.
J.D. Drew.
good
yeah, that,
one.
How did that work out for you?
Well,
there?
We knew that was a disaster. Right about Wait, as well as was, Carl Crawford, although he did have a huge hit in the playoffs.
Was that a Scott Boras guy, too?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And it took just about as long to get the physical passed.
All right. What did Martinez do before we went off on a little side note there, Brady? Go ahead.
Well, Martinez was introed today in Fort Myers with Red Sox brass Alex Cora and his agent Scott Boras. One of the things that I took away, we talked about in hour one, was his willingness or his desire to play the outfield. Another thing we took away was just how much did he really talk with David Price? Because we had heard that the two had spoken about Boston, and Martinez...
Me and David never really talked about that exactly. We kind of just talk about the fans and, you know, how kind of exciting it is to play there. You know, David's always spoken very well of, you know, very highly of the Red Sox and especially like the fan base and pitching in that ballpark and how fun it is to go out there every day and play every day. So that's kind of, you know, with talking to Alex and stuff like that about going out there every day, and it's almost like a, you know, Monday football has Monday night. Like they say in Fenway, it's every night's like Monday night football over there. So I'm excited. You know, I love this game. I love to play and to play in front of fans that are just as passionate and that love it just as much is exciting.
Yeah, just don't suck.
If this was lie or truth, I'd be saying lie right now about what he said about Price. Yeah. He said about how great the fans are, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, sure he did. Yeah, I'm sure about that.
Yeah, we'll give you $30 million for your first year, so say the right things.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Tom Fair Tire text line, 4 minute football is good, baseball bad. I like that one. I like that one.
People.
And Big Mike, you guys are talking MLB when the NHL and the NBA are going strong. Baseball isn't relevant till post All-Star break. Go Flyers and trust the process. Great job, man. Big Mike in McGillicuddy. Oh, look at Brandon getting on.
Do they still have a hockey team in Philadelphia?
I'm going to take his word for that. So I'm just going to.
You know, the Philly teams have not lost since the Eagles won the Super Bowl in any sport.
What? I mean, the Sixers and the Flyers have not lost a game.
The Sixers are 7-0, at least going into last night. Last night they played Washington. I don't know if they won, to be honest with you. But they were 7-0 going into last night. I think they won again last night.
Well, I know the Phillies aren't, so we can stop that because once the regular season starts, that's good and that's true. That's
Philadelphia last night lost to Washington.
Okay, so there you go.
But still, that's pretty cool. But
they have one loss since then.
All right, anything else on Martinez or what?
He had a lot of stuff that he said that was good. So Scott Boras talked about how the deal got done, and they asked, is this deal more, or this negotiating process more contentious than usual? This was Boras' answer to that.
Well, I'm not sure tough is the word. It's really these negotiations are more of a cooperative venture. The idea that the goal is common, very mutual. We all wanted to execute an agreement that we all thought was in the best interest for both JD and the Red Sox. The idea of it is clarity. You really have to go through every step of this and be very clear so that each of the parties understand the dynamics of, you know, what is clear medically, what is clear legally, and that process took its course, and there was good faith intent throughout of it.
I could have done without that.
It makes my stomach turn every time I hear his voice.
I could have done without listening to that. You know what? And just a little side thing. It sounds like he's backtracking. It sounds like he's a guy that knows he didn't get his best for his client and that he was finally not taken advantage of, but he was finally beaten in his own game, and he doesn't sound happy. I don't know. Am I reading too much of that?
Only hope.
It's interesting. Coming up in Champlain Valley Game Night, I'm going to talk with Kylie McDaniels of Fangraphs.com, which is kind of the pro football focus of baseball. And we'll talk a little bit about Martinez. We'll talk about the slow-moving free agent market. And I think, based on what I've read from him, I think he's going to say this. This is a perfect storm here this offseason. Boras owned most of the marquee free agents.
Right.
And he may have overplayed his hand a little bit because you talk about he had the monopoly on the market. And then next year there's all these great free agents coming. All of that could have created some of the slow moving because there's only one agent to negotiate.
Who was the agent that we had on? I'm sorry. I don't remember.
Josh Kuznick.
If Josh Kuznick was in Scott Boras' situation where he had all those free agents, I don't think we would have had as a problem. Look, I don't want to accuse anybody, but I'm thinking maybe MLB in their own right, these owners kind of colluded, not among themselves with emails or anything, said, you know what, blank Scott Boras, okay? I'll wait. I'll do whatever I have. I don't need this group. And if it was anybody else, maybe they would have just gone ahead and signed everybody.
I never remember a baseball offseason like this with free agency where you have guys like Hosmer and then finally Jaden Martinez finally signing at the absolute last second as the teams are reporting to camp. You've got quality players like Moustakas, like Jake Arrieta, sitting out there and missing time. You don't see that as often in baseball.
But there's reasons why they're not getting signed, though. I was actually surprised that Yu Darvish signed for the money that he did. I am more of a Jake Arrieta fan, but we'll see how it plays out. I still think that a lot had to do with Scott Boras, but obviously you can't have collusion because that's a no-no. That's against the law. Just go ahead and ask the college basketball coaches because the feds will get involved with that, which I'm surprised that the FBI would get involved with that when there's other pressing issues in life. That's for sure. Brady, Monday Mirage is coming up next. We'll get to that. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The huddle is back. I'm sure you missed us. 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Boy, it was a busy Monday. We're just flying on by. Trey Bell Haynes will join us in about 20 minutes from now. You'll stick around for that. But first time for Monday Mirages. Oh, you got that pressed early. Look at that, huh? Monday Mirages.
I hate when you do that.
I know you do.
Because he's showing you up is what he's doing.
Wow.
That's more just being annoying.
Wow.
This is why people don't. I hope you know now that Jess and I, when we talk to each other, we go, wow, this is why people don't like you.
Oh, everybody's stealing my wows now all over the country. They're just stealing it.
Question one, Monday Mirages. You think J.D. Martinez should hit third over Hanley Ramirez in the Red Sox order, real or mirage?
Real. I think he should bat third over anybody in the lineup. We were just talking about this earlier. I said, why do the Yankees have to bat Judge second? And they got Stanton. Well, they batted him second last year. I think that's exactly where Martinez should be. He should bat third. They don't have really anybody that's going to give you more power than him. I'm okay with it. They got to go ahead and set the table for him. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with 4, 5, and 6, how that order. And I'm sure that's going to change a bunch. But, yeah, you got to bat him third. There's no doubt about that.
I disagree. I think that's a mirage.
Wow.
I think you got to give Hanley a shot there because I think you've got to give him – he's on TB12. I mean, he must be in shape. He's eating tofu all winter. He came back in great shape, and he said all the right things. I just wonder if maybe he's got one more year in him. And I'll tell you what, if you bat him third, he's going to be seeing a hell of a lot of good pitches.
Yeah, but it could hurt Martinez.
Yeah, but do you want to put your best, arguably, maybe not even arguably, your best three hitters at 1, 2, and 3 in the lineup?
I'm going.
Betts, Benintendi, and Martinez?
I'm going real, but I do wonder about then what happens with 4, 5, 6.
Yes.
It's not so much that I worry about having 1, 2, 3 be so good. I do worry about the lopsidedness of the lineup.
Who's going to protect them?
If 1, 2, 3 is great and 4, 5, 6 is unknown. Because Bogaerts, to me, is not a four hitter. Hanley is more of a four hitter, kind of an all or nothing. I'll say real, but the thing I worry about this team is very, very right-handed dominant. And that is not... Like, you'd rather be right-handed dominant than left-handed dominant because right-handed helps you in your ballpark and right-handed hits lefty pitching better than lefties do. But between Benintendi and Devers, those are the only two lefties you really have in that lineup along with Bradley at the very bottom. So I'm curious about the lineup balance.
And the problem, too, with Hanley is that I'm sitting here saying, well, give him 150 at-bats in the 3 slot and see what he can do with good pitching because they can't pitch around him. But then what do you do with Moreland? I mean, where's Hanley going to play if...
Mancy, I would think you would go. Hanley's going to play first. Moreland's going to be on the bench.
Yeah,
that's really how it's going to go.
Yeah, they're
so strange. They re-signed him.
I think what happens is this. I think you end up seeing Martinez third, Hanley fourth, and then I think that you're going to see Bogaerts fifth and Devers sixth, or Devers fifth and Bogaerts sixth. I think you got to break up the lefties or the righties that way. So maybe Devers hits fifth. Question number two. Here in Monday Mirages, the Bruins made a good move getting Rick Nash from the Rangers. Real or mirage?
It was good. You're adding a guy. Certainly could help in many different ways. 6'4", is going to go ahead and give you some size out there. Can give you some points. Can score goals. He's a veteran. He's been in the playoffs. I think it's a win-win situation every which way around.
I think it's absolutely real. If you had put the word made a great move, I would have said mirage. But good move, I'll go with. I think it's a B. I'll give him a B for it since everybody else is grading him online. I don't think they gave up much for a guy who should be able to be a solid second, top six forward. I think David Krejci's going to be able to wake up just like he did when he had a big guy like Nathan Horton and Milan Lucic on
the wing
for him. And Ginla, that's true, who, by the way, is in Providence. Yeah. He's trying to come back at age 79.
Didn't know he was that young.
So I like it. I mean, I think it's a win-now situation. I hate losing the first-round pick, but it's going to be late 20s as far as what pick that is. I love getting rid of any bit of that awful Pulleski contract that they can, even if it's just half of it. I like the move.
I'll go real as well. I like it because this is a year you have to go for it because a lot of the traditional powers are at the bottom of their divisions. Detroit is no good. Montreal is no good. The Rangers are no good. The Blackhawks are no good. The Senators, who beat you last year, are in second to last place in their division. Columbus, who had that record-winning streak last year, is no good this year, is in the middle of their division. What the best team out west is an expansion team that we have no idea as to what they're going to do. This is the year to go for it because there's just so much unsettled and uneasy. This is a year to make a move. And even Pittsburgh, I know they're getting hot, but they're in third place in their division also. Monday Mirages, question number three. Lower impact, but the Patriots made a good move bringing back Brandon Bolden as opposed to getting a younger special teamer in the draft or as an undrafted free agent, real or mirage.
Who? Who did they get?
I thought that would be your response.
This guy's been on the team for how long?
A long time now.
Yeah.
Five, 6 years?
And you still wouldn't recognize him if you walked in here with the Super Bowl rings on and a Patriot jersey.
I would, because he's my friend.
Wouldn't even know who the hell he was. I go, hey, can you get me some water downstairs, please? But this guy, what's he doing? Why? I've told you a million times. You got five running backs. You don't have one.
Special teams player.
He's not a running back. I mean, he is, but he isn't.
What is he on the team? He's been how long there? How long? How long has he been on the team?
7 years.
Yeah. He's been around a long
time. Guess what? That's enough for me. Time to move on after your seven-year career. You're out of here.
It depends completely on how much he wants. I mean, he's got to understand he's not going to get a whole lot.
It's the veteran minimum. That's what they already got him for.
Well, then, absolutely a good move. That is real. I mean, kickoff coverage, he returns kicks, punt coverage. I remember him scoring a touchdown, and was it a playoff game? It was a late game. I'm trying to remember, was it the Jacksonville game?
Not this year.
No. Well, he scored a touchdown at some point. I remember 38 going in for the touchdown, thinking, oh, I didn't even know he was still on the team.
I think it was the Jets, maybe, week 17. But
No wonder no one can remember it.
I'll go real as well. Again, he's on all the special teams units. That consistency is important for the Patriots. I like him, but I'm not going to celebrate it and say they're going to the Super Bowl because of it, but I do think it's a good move.
All right. What's next up there, bro?
Question number four. On just the NFL as a whole, the Vikings have made the right move not franchising quarterback Case Keenum, real or mirage?
Franchising him would pay him how much money in the top 5%?
23 to 24 million.
Wow.
I know, for one good year.
Jeez, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's a lot of dough when I could think of about 100 quarterbacks. That's going to be better than Case Keenum.
He had a good year.
I think of 100 quarterbacks.
100. Okay.
That are better than Case Keenum.
Okay, name them.
Well, I have to go through the list, but nothing against him. He just got the job because of the injuries, right?
Right, but he went out there and performed. Wouldn't you agree?
When he was the third quarterback, was he not? I mean, Bridgewater went down.
He's about the third best quarterback of the NFL. Look at his numbers. He had an excellent year. I understand. The question is you have to decide whether the potential of a one-year wonder is worth $25 million bucks for you.
How much? They made the right move. I can't pay him that much money.
I agree with you there. We got around to mirage or real in a different way, but I agree. You can't give, if it wasn't quarterback, maybe, but you can't give $25 million to a guy who's done it once.
It's real because you can't give a $23, $24, $25 million deal to him for 1 year. It also makes a long-term extension really difficult because what is the money beyond that one-year franchise, potentially? If they franchise tag him and then try to sign him to a long-term deal, again, he's going to want huge money. It's real on that, but the Vikings are in a precarious situation that Bridgewater, Bradford, and Keenum are all free agents, so a team that went to the NFC Championship game has no quarterbacks on its roster right now, so they are going to have to address that. Moving on here, question number five, Monday Mirages and Treybell Haynes will join us in about 8 minutes from now, but the last question is, the NCAA as we know it is about to change, real or mirage?
Not about to change, I think it's going to take some time. I think it's going to go ahead and take somebody like a Nick Saban. It's got to come from the football powers, and it's got to be from the Alabamas, the Ohio States, the Oklahomas. They have to lead the way. Nick Saban's already threatened this before. If I'm correct, if we Google it, you'll find an article 3-4 years ago that he dropped this bomb one time going, well, maybe we'll have to lead the NCAA, and we didn't make a big deal about it back then. I'm almost sure that's what he said. That's the only way we can get it done is somebody like him leading the way. The powers, and of course some of the college basketballs, like the Coach K's and stuff like that. Otherwise, it will never get done.
I think it's real, but I agree. It might take a little while. I'm still trying to figure out who's in what league anymore. It's so ridiculous. Nobody's in the same league they were in 10 years ago. But I just think this is going to be a big deal. And just talking with Dallin Cuff, he's just talking about whether this is the tip of the iceberg or not. And we heard that phrase a lot over the weekend. I'm going real on that, and it's gonna happen in a lot of ways, but I do agree with Arnie that it's not going to happen overnight because there's just so many layers to this.
It's real. It's going to take years, and it's going to get ugly, and I'll say yes. And look, I'd be in favor of a lifetime ban from college coaching. I was listening to Dan Dockich today of ESPN. He was on with the guys from Barstool Sports, the Pardon My Take podcast, and he said that's what it might take. A one strike and you're out forever. You can go coach in the pros. You can go coach in high school. You can go coach in NAIA. But if you are found guilty of of tampering and recruiting at the college level, a lifetime ban from college from the NCAA. I'd be in favor of that.
But look at the coaches that have done so much worse. I get the first Dave Bliss. You guys remember him?
Yeah,
only
Ed Baylor.
Oh, he covered up a murder. Yeah. And what was his excuse for the murderer? Oh no, he's not a murderer. He's just a drug dealer. So what the hell's wrong with you? That guy almost got a job or was going to coach again. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. I don't know if I can go that far where one strike you're out and, you know, you proposition a player, especially when so many people are behind the player saying, well, you make so much money, the players have got to get their money, the players have got to get their money. You know, I caught a lot of grief yesterday by saying the players are just as dirty and guilty as anybody else out there for taking money and putting your teammates at risk, your coaches at risk, and your assistant coaches at risk. Who the hell do you think you are?
I think you're right in some cases. I think you're wrong in a majority, though. I think in a lot of cases, a lot of this stuff, in my mind, probably gets negotiated when these kids are
in high school.
Yeah, but I would think it happens maybe even at like 14.
Could be,
you know,
15.
Things that you just can't even get out of if you're the player then. I made this analogy on Friday, and I'll make it quick again. It kind of reminds me in a way of Cuban baseball players. You know, okay, you have these guys who will fund your training in Cuba,
right?
And they'll say, hey, at 15, hey, you're pretty good. When you get to the pros,
you're going
to give me a third of your first contract. And that's something that, yeah, you'll take it at the time, but then 10 years later, you can't escape that and you can't get out of it. I think this stuff happens earlier more so than later in life. I think at 14, 15, you're in too deep to even get out of it if you wanted to.
Yeah, it's certainly shady. The business that goes on, all underhanded stuff, it's horrible out there. I just don't like to let the kids off the hook because they know right from wrong. And they know taking money and, you know, that's like, and I know people are saying, well, they should get paid. They're being used. They're being taken advantage of. Well, you know what, Rich?
That's a discussion.
I don't think the middle class, what we are in, I think we pay too much taxes. So I'm going to withhold some of my money, just my money, because I feel I pay too much taxes. How's that going to fly?
Yeah, but don't you agree a lot of these kids are in pretty desperate straits financially, and their families are as well?
No, that's stereotyping these kids. Hey, I'm from the Bronx, New York also, and I'm white.
I
wouldn't know that.
Necessarily. I'm just saying that a lot of them aren't financially well off.
I think that's stereotyping. I heard somebody said that to me yesterday. I said, don't say that to me. I don't want to hear that. That's a whole lot of baloney because an athlete is black, that they're underprivileged. I'm not buying into that. I know some are, but I'm not buying into that.
Where did I say that?
Well, that's the insinuation, though, that they come from low-income homes because a lot of basketball players and football players are black.
All right. Well, that wasn't my intent.
Don't
white kids come from low-income situations?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. When we get back, Trey Bell Haynes will stop on by. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Yeah.
Back to the huddle, where you can give us your take at 802-655-6672. Providing Arnie shuts up long enough to let you get a sentence in. 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back here in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. It is Monday, but we're already looking forward to tomorrow because it's another edition of UVM basketball. The Cats are taking on Maine. It's the final regular season game, and they're going to play Maine again the following Saturday in the first round of the America East Conference Tournament. And one of the guys who's going to be in charge of leading both those matchups against Maine is senior point guard and captain Trey Bell Haynes. Trey, thanks for being with us. How are you?
Good, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate it. Congratulations on the success to this point this season. Let's start with this. Senior night for you guys was last week. What was that like for you taking the court for the final time in a regular season game at Patrick Gym?
It was really emotional, obviously. We've had so many great moments in that gym, from winning the championship game to playing our first game and hopefully in a couple weeks winning another championship. So it was just... It was full circle, just having everything come back on that day and having our families there with us was really emotional.
How have you grown? How has the program grown in your 4 years here?
The growth has been huge. I think as a player, obviously, for me, I've gotten a lot better in every part of the game. But as a person, I think I've matured a lot. I've learned a lot from the players that I've been around, whether it be Hector, Ethan, or my teammates now, like Ernie or Peyton. been able to steal little things from everybody and become a better person. And I think the program has just taken huge steps since I've gotten here. Just like the way our non-conference schedule is set up now, it's really challenging, and we're playing tough schedules on the road a lot. When my first year and even my second year, the schedules were good, but they weren't anything in comparison to how they are now.
You guys are 14-1 in the America East, having another great season. You guys have done this one with, in a different way. You missed Anthony Lamb for the entire conference season. Artie Duncan missed a couple games with a concussion. You were out earlier in the season. So does this season feel like it's been more of a grind than last season?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely more of a grind. I think last year with Kurt, Dre, and Darren, and then all the returners from this year's team, we kind of were ready to go, and we didn't really get the injury bug or any hurdles in that way. And this season, obviously, like you said, missing Anthony, and he was such a big part. He is a big part of this team, especially. He was playing so well before he got hurt. And then Ernie a couple weeks ago, we struggled a little bit without him. But it just speaks to the characteristics of this team and being ready to play no matter what the circumstances are.
You know, when we talked preseason at Media Day, the one thing you said to me was that you really wanted to develop a jumper this season that teams had to respect, and you certainly have done that. You've shot a lot more effectively from the three-point line. How vital has that been to your game personally?
I think it's huge. I think when my shot's going down, it just opens up driving lanes, and the ability, it makes it easier for me to get into the paint, especially when teams have to respect my jumper. And I think, especially in conference play, I've done a good job of finding kind of a healthy mix of being able to get a couple shots up, a couple threes up, and being able to get into the paint for myself and creating for my teammates.
Trey Bell Haynes with us, UVM men's basketball senior point guard, senior captain, reigning America East Player of the Year. He's here with us on the Huddle. Cats will take on Maine tomorrow. They'll also play Maine in the America East Conference Tournament first round. Is that weird having the same opponent back-to-back, and do you do anything different tomorrow knowing you're going to see this team in the playoffs just a couple days down the road?
It remains to be seen how weird it will be, but I doubt we'll do it too much differently. That's really up to the coaches. They'll probably, I'd guess that Maine will probably try to trick us for the playoff game, not show us too much or work on some things and kind of hide them. But we're just going to have to be ready to play and go out there both times and be the harder and smarter playing team and be better for 40 minutes.
Forever the team guy. What was it like for you to see Ernie Duncan and Peyton Henson get their 1,000th career points this season? Peyton just did it in the last game.
Really happy for both of them. Ernie was a long time coming. I mean, I've played my whole career with him, most of my career with him, and just really happy. He's one of my closest friends on this team, and I couldn't be more happy. It's not more deserved. And then for Peyton, obviously, with his journey having done 2 years at Tulane and then coming here, and his success here is really, really unmatched, and we're really happy for him to be able to get that mark.
Trey, you were visibly disappointed and upset in the media about the loss to Hartford on your home floor. What did that loss do for your team? Did it refocus the team, re-energize the team, or did it just make you mad and that was that?
It definitely refocused us. Obviously we were disappointed, but we deserved to lose that game. Hartford was the better team that night, but it was refocused. I think going into that game, we were kind of in that direction. We weren't really playing too well, and we were kind of just finding different ways to win. And it was kind of definitely saw it coming. I was pretty mad after the game, just the way they celebrated on the court, like they had won kind of the championship, and like the game was bigger than it was, which is just a regular season game. I guess at the end of the day, it helped them a lot for seeding, and that's good for them that they were kind of able to get that win. But just the way they celebrated, I thought, was pretty disrespectful, and I didn't like that.
Trey, let's move over to some fun stuff, because I asked these questions to everybody, so I got to hear your answers. Your teammates have said you never relent control of the music in the locker room. Is this true?
Yeah.
What's getting played? So if you're the guy always in control, what are you playing for the guys?
It changes. a lot of Drake. Can never go wrong with Drake. Maybe I'm really into old 90s hip hop, so I'll sprinkle that in. I love Jay-Z, I love Nas, so I try to kind of find a way to get those guys into the locker room sometimes too, but I don't know, a bit of everything.
Now, I asked this, and I've gotten multiple different answers, so I need your take. Best team cook. If you were having a team meal, who's the guy making the meal?
Oh, that's tough, because I know some of the answers, and I don't know if I agree. I think I'd go with me or Ernie.
Neither one of you came up. It was Drew Urquhart, Ben Shungu.
Well, Ben's never cooked for me, but if Drew was making, like, a cupcake or something like that, I would definitely pick Drew. But if it's a meal, I think I'm going with me or Ernie.
We'll get you out of here on two more questions. He's very buttoned up. Give us some inside dirt on broadcaster Sam Hyman we can use against him next time we see him in studio.
I'm the wrong guy to ask. I don't know. I don't really got anything. He's pretty
buttoned up.
Yeah. I got nothing bad or no secrets to give you about Sam.
All right, Trey, we'll get you out of here on this one. How about best place to eat in Burlington, or, you know, place you're going to most miss being able to go out to eat at when you leave town here after graduation?
Ooh, I would probably go with Penny Clues. They got the best turkey sandwich in town. The old-fashioned turkey sandwich is something I get every time I go there.
Trey Bell Haynes, captain of the UVM men's hoop team, the 14-1 in the America East UVM men's hoop team. They're back on the air with us tomorrow, 6:30, for the pregame show, final regular season game against Maine. Trey, we appreciate the time, continued success, and hopefully we're talking about your guys for another full month here.
All right, thanks for having me.
There you go. Trey Bell Haynes, good to go ahead and talk to him, and of course, big part of this team. I love his attitude. We were bringing this up last year. He was on our Facebook page arguing with some of our listeners because they're like, he's not good enough to go pro. And Trey Bell's like, okay, then I won't follow my dreams. Then.
How dare I do that? Boy, have you ever seen a kid come through Burlington, though, who just turns a play that looks like nothing into 2 points faster than that guy does? Just amazing.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Trey Bell Haynes or Trimboli?
Boy, that's actually pretty close.
Look at you. You're struggling
No,
over
that's close.
You're struggling over
All right,
there.
So I'll go to stats. I mean, they're about the same.
No, they're about the same.
Yeah, I mean, Trimboli had a few more assists, I think.
Trimboli was on not quite as good a teams, so yeah, I'd say he didn't have the supporting cast.
Yeah, and Trimboli's got a gut now, I hear. So.
Well, that sure got in the way for his 54 points against you.
Trimboli direct messaged me on Twitter the other day and said, hey, can I get copies of those shows where Arnie was talking bad about me? My family wants to hear.
Oh, yeah, send it to him. Hey, so in 10 years from now when I'm 64, will Trey Bell Haynes be playing in the YMCA League?
He might be in the NBA.
Hey, remember, Rich, guess what I'm playing against today? Trey Bell Haynes. What do you think about that?
Last night.
I'm going to shut him down, man.
Crutches.
And guess who else he's bringing? Lamb, too.
They won't even let you in the Golden Oldies at 64.
Yeah. No, but what does that tell you? It tells you these guys have figured out Burlington's a pretty good place to hang after graduation.
Yeah. No, I could imagine. No doubt about that. So that's funny. All right. We'll have last story standing when we get back as we finish off. By the way, Brady, what is coming up on Champlain Valley game night tonight?
Kylie McDaniel of Fangraphs.com will talk baseball with us. And then two members of the Plattsburgh State men's basketball team, which is going to the NCAA tournament of their own.
Oh,
they'll join me at 6:40.
All right, we'll have all that, plus last story standing right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for last story standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Brady, you want to do last story standing, or do you want me to give you the one I had?
We can both do them if we got time. Go ahead. You go first.
All right. Iowa sophomore point guard Jordan Bohannon purposely missed a free throw during Sunday's win against Northwestern. Here was the situation. They were up 73-65 with about 2 minutes left in the game. So I guess it's a comfortable lead. You're up by eight, though. You know, nothing's for sure. Yeah. He decided to miss the free throw on purpose. Now, the reason he did that is he had 35 consecutive free throws, which tied a school record with a former player named Chris Street. Well, Chris Street died in a car accident in 1993, and the streak was ongoing when he died. So in honor of him. And by the way, was that – I'm sorry, I didn't know the whole story. I think they were honoring Chris Street that game.
I'm not sure, but I saw the whole thing. Yeah. It was pretty impressive.
Was that his father that was there?
I'm not sure. But
was that his father that was there?
Well, he said that he's gotten to know the whole family very well.
Right, so I think the father was there in one of the clips I saw. But anyway, he decided to purposely miss it, so it would be a tie going into
And
that.
He sold it well. I mean, it just went off the front of the rim. It's not like he just threw it 10 feet in the air. So.
He should have just thrown it over the backboard or just rolled it or something like that. I would have had no problem with it.
The devil's advocate in me here would say, if I'm the coach of that team, and I know this is very wrong in this situation for the PC out of this, but with an 8-point lead with 2 minutes left.
What if they
lost? You think he's throwing the game?
Oh, no.
Point shaving?
No, but I'm what if saying, they lost, you know?
No, I'm saying that's not, if you're ahead by 25, it's perfect. But
yeah. Interesting.
No thought?
Nah, I just...
At me being a cold, heartless bastard?
Nah, I wouldn't have liked it either, to be honest. It's sentimental, and I like that, but I'm with you also. You could lose that game.
Yeah, 8's a little tight. With 2 minutes.
The really cynical person would say, was he point shaving? That's what the real cynical person would say.
I'm not going to go there.
The Rays have traded off a lot of their good players this offseason.
You think?
In an effort to save money. Well, they're about to get a new TV deal that's going to give them like four times what their current TV deal is. So it's nice to see them pinching pennies because they need to.
Yeah, exactly. I saw that story there. Yeah, they're going to make a
David Archer
money.
Must be livid.
Chris Archer.
I mean Chris Archer. Why do I always call him David Archer?
That was the quarterback for Atlanta.
Yes.
That's who that was. Yeah,
well,
exactly.
They could solve the problem and, I don't know, move to Montreal.
Yeah, figure that out. All right, well, go ahead. Brady's got Champlain Valley game night coming up next. So stick around for that. For Brady, for Rich, I'm Arnie. This is 101.3 ESPN.